Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday evening, June 22nd, 2017. What a beautiful day today at the Radio Ranch. It's summertime. I think yesterday was, they've got down as the summer solstice, I think, on our calendars. We had our 91st day Sunday and rolled into Monday, so we are right here at the change of the seasons, and here we are, the very beginning of summer. Oh, what a beautiful day. Better than they've got it down in Arizona, 112, 114, 120 the last few days. They have got summer solid down there in Arizona, and want to keep those people in your prayers, definitely, for living with that kind of heat. Whew, it's hot down there. Well, it's a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. We hope your day has been a beautiful day, wherever you may be. I know it's hot on the West Coast, and it's warm on the East Coast. It is summertime. Praise the Lord that He sends His good weather in its season. We don't have to worry, at least with the clear skies that we have today, we don't have to worry about a snowstorm tonight, because God has His order. He has His seasons in order, and we rejoice in it, and we're glad to have it. Well, kind of have a couple current events for you tonight to share with you tonight, and also last week we talked about this solar eclipse that's coming up, and that's not the only sign that seems to be occurring this year in the heavens. So I thought tonight I'd kind of review that eclipse a little bit and talk about some of the constellation alignments that seem to be shaping up. Sure do. And not quite sure what they mean, but I thought I'd share at least my thoughts with you. And you can take it for whatever it may be. And we'll have to see how that goes. So, but let's open with prayer first. Well, our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for this time that You give me, Lord, to step away from the world. Lord, what an opportunity to be able to have fellowship with Your remnant and to share Your word and Your truths with them, Lord, and to read from Your word and to hear Your word. Lord, it is a benefit to me. I pray that it's a benefit to Your remnant, Lord, that it encourages all of us to love and good deeds and to do our best to stay that straight and narrow path. Lord, we know that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. And so, Lord, thank You for increasing our faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have faith. Increase our faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, we believe. Increase our belief. Heavenly Father, we love You. Increase our love. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do pray for the eyes of Your remnant to be opened. Lord, that those that just do not see it, those that have rejected it in the past, the true gospel story, the death, burial, and, of course, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that their eyes would be opened, that their ears would be unstopped, that, Lord, that they would, Your people that are still in blindness, Lord, they think they're clothed, but they're naked. They think that they are rich, but they're poor. They think they are healthy, but they're sick. Lord, they think they are full, but they're starving. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us open their eyes, Lord, and to get Your truth in whatever way we can, Lord, out to Your people. Lord, as we continue to put it out on shortwave and internet, we continue to broadcast to the audio satellite and to telephones. And so, Lord, we thank You for those opportunities that we have. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And we thank You, Lord. Help us to take the best advantage of the opportunities You give us. To Your glory, Lord, to Your glory. And Father, as we go through the trials and tribulations and, Lord, just the walk of life, Lord, help us to learn what it is that You are teaching us. Lord, help us to learn, help us to be strengthened, and help us to see as we have our life experiences, Lord, as we rely on You and as we read Your word, Lord, help us to learn the things that You want us to learn. I ask for Your blessing on this broadcast tonight, Lord. I ask Your blessing on our leaders, both local, state, and national, that, Lord, they would look to You and Your word. That is our petition, Lord. We pray for the cities that we live in, Lord, the counties, the state, this nation. Lord, your word says that for we are to do that it may be well with us. And so we do that, Lord. We pray for our leaders that, Father, they would look to you, that they would have a Christian mindset and a Christian worldview, and that they would use your word and your way and your law in helping them make the decisions that they have to make and to do the things that they do. Again, Holy Spirit, I ask you to join us here tonight. Thank you for this time of fellowship, and I pray that you would guide my thoughts, my words, that again, they would be edifying to you, edifying to your people, and pleasurable to you, Lord, that they would put a smile on your face. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And we will have the phone lines open up in a little bit. I wanted to get through some of my notes tonight if I can. I hope you're reading your Bible. We are reading through Psalms. Psalms from 63, and we wrap up in Psalms 83 on Saturday. And I can't encourage you enough. I can't exhort you enough to read your Bible. It is one of the disciplines that we are to have as a Christian. And we are to be known by our fruits. And our fruits come from where we spend our time, what we decide. It's not what we have time for, but what we make time for. That is one of the disciplines. And how, someone call and explain to me how you can be a Christian and not be in His Word. They go hand in hand. They are right hand, left hand, interlinked. Fingers wrapped around each other. Being a Christian and reading His Word. And applying His Word. And so we do encourage you. And don't beat yourself up. If you got behind on Bible reading, just get to it, open it up, and start today. Start in the morning reading your Bible. We're in Psalms 75 through 77, and reading 77 today, I've got highlighted in my Bible in verse 7, it says, "Will the Lord reject forever, and will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion?" Oh, do you feel? You can understand the grief, the sorrow, the thoughts of that he was all alone. That the psalmist wrote when he wrote this, Psalm 77, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And he, David had sorrow. David had times of doubt. But when you read on, you see, "Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High is changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord." And you go on. And so there's times when we are down. There's times that it seems like the whole world's crashing in on us. It seems like, as I read here, that the Lord has rejected forever. It may seem like He may never be favorable to you again. It may seem like His loving kindness has ceased, or His promises have come to an end, or that He has forgotten to be gracious, or He has withdrawn His compassion and His anger. It may seem like that sometimes. It sure did to the psalmist. It sure did to David. But it didn't stay that way. It didn't stay that way. And so, when you, again, that's some of the gems we get out of the Bible. We read this, and I've felt that way sometimes. Oh, man, the whole world's coming down on me. But when that happens, and you persevere, and you endure, and that's what I'm hoping you might get out of just this little psalm this week of reading the Psalms, is perseverance and endurance. And we get through the times that it seems like we have been rejected. We haven't. It just seems that way. And we get through the times that, well, it seems like we aren't getting the blessings of God anymore, when in reality we are. We just don't see it. So anyway, that's just kind of what jumped out of me today on today's Bible reading. I hope you are reading it. I hope you continue to. That's Psalm 78. Big chapter, but in verse 42, they did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the adversary. And that's where we are again. We don't remember the power of God. We don't remember the power of God. Last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and again on Hope is Alive, the subject of Elijah and Elisha came up, and especially Elijah, and the miraculous things that he did, the fire he called down, the reverence that he had, that people had for him, the things that he did. We talked about him, and we had read about him, and it brings me back to, I'll read it again, James 5, 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us, remnant, Christian. He got scared at times. He was scared and desired death over having to face Jezebel. Don't we get like that sometimes? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I'll confess my sin. But we sure do our best to persevere and to endure. Because when we read our Bibles, when we read God's Word, when we take time to say, God, what is it you want to say to me today in your living Word? And then we read what he wants to tell us this day. We read, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again that it would rain, and it rained. See, that is the power of God. In Psalm 78, they forgot about it. Well, guess what, remnant? Remember it. Read his word and remember his power. Don't know if I get to do it on Saturday for coffee, but we wrap up the week, the Bible reading, with Psalms 83. And I'm going to try to play it again Saturday, but I've got it here by Carl Klang, Psalms 83. It's stirring. Hope you enjoy it. I'll be back right after this.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarenes are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs, their lords like Zeba. who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are the one most high o'er all the earth.
Oh, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that is the word of God. If you followed along in Psalms 83, praise ye the Lord. Oh God, we do not forget your power. We thank you for your power on high, for your promises, Lord, that you honor those that honor you. And Lord, those that will not bow their knee, well, they will get what's coming to them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that you are a God who rewards those of us that do our best to serve you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Be glorified, Lord Jesus, in all that we think, say, and do. And oh, thank you. Thank you for your mercy endureth forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. And again, amen. Hope you're reading your Bible, folks. That's a surefire way to be ready, to be on that path to being right with God. Had a bit of current events came across my desk today, and it caught my eye. America gets older, and I'm certainly getting older, praise the Lord. It says America getting more racially diverse. White Americans are the slowest growing ethnic group between 2015 and 2016. The slowest growing ethnic group, and it will be a minority, it says now, by 2040. We'll see about that. And apparently, the white baby boomers are giving away to booming numbers of Hispanics and Asians that are moving in and that are having children. Every racial group grew between 2015 and 2016, but the number of whites increased at the slowest rate. 0.01%, less than 0.01%, only 5,000 people, according to this Mail Online. That the white people increase the smallest amount of any ethnic group. According to the Census Bureau, the Asian population and those who identified as being of two or more races grew by 3% each. Asians grew to 21 million, and two or more racial makeup grew to 8.5 million. Hispanics grew by 2% to 57.5 million people here in the United States. The black population only grew by 1.2% to nearly 47 million. And we've talked about this, so it's been about a year ago, but and that is something that has changed the makeup, the racial makeup of the United States. And that is that the Hispanic population is now second in numbers to the white population, whereas it used to be the black population was second. And so we are seeing a change in the nation. The whites are barely having enough babies to hang on. And with these growth rates, it's only about another generation and a half. This is 2017, so by 2040, what's that, 23 years? 23 years, another generation. And why, if it lasts that long, if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back before then, and these current trends continue, that in another generation, the whites will be the minority. Also reported was the proportion of the population aged over 65 jumped from 12 to 15%. And that's in the last 15 years. And of course, that's the baby boomer generation, those that were born after World War II up until about 1964 or so. I think I just missed it. And that's from 35 million up to 49 million people in 16 years, from 2001 to 2016. And so, just it caught my eye. And you know, God is not mocked. He has said that he would make, his promises are true. And his covenant that he made with Abraham was that Abram, would be the father of many nations. And that has happened. And that his children would be more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. And that has happened. And when we read through the Bible, we see that we were given commandments and we were given ordinances and we were given days, and we were to remember these things and to teach our children to continue in this everlasting covenant. And that has happened. But what also happens is when his people, who are called by his name, and that's that new name that's given to the new Jerusalem. There's the new name right in the middle of the old name. But when his people, who are called by his name, turn from him, well, in days of old, we see that he would bring people from afar in and capture, let his people be captured. Well, we've seen a different type of captivity today. We've seen the people come in and stay. And in another generation, we will be bred into a minority here in our own country. So, what to do? Turn back to the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. Turn back to his word. Read through your Bible. We've put a Bible reading plan. We've given you a tool to help. We encourage you to use it. We encourage you to use it. So, well, last week, I believe it was, talked about what we're seeing coming up in the natural. And didn't want to go back through all that, but just a quick review. There is a full solar eclipse forecast for the United States on August 21st, 2017. That's this year. And a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun, totally or partly obscuring the image of the Sun and the light, either partially or totally for a period of time. And it's been almost 99 years since a total solar eclipse has been as accessible to Americans from coast to coast as this one coming up is. The August 21st solar eclipse will be the first ever solar eclipse. And I did want to review this. It is the first ever solar eclipse whose path of totality, and that means a full 100% solar eclipse, where the moon blocks the roundness that we see from the sun. That's called totality. And so this will be the first ever solar eclipse whose path of totality hits no other country than the United States. And I think that is significant. It is this is the first time this has happened since this country has been a country, since this nation was formed in a day in keeping with Bible prophecy. And that day is July 4th, 1776. And the last time that a solar eclipse only hit this continent was before this nation was a country, was a nation, before this country was formed. And so it to me, it carries a bit of significance there. It's the first time. A day is a thousand years to the Lord. We have to remember that. And so the 400 years, 300 years, it's been what? About 400 years. That in the grand scheme of things, that's a drop in the bucket. We have to remember that. Then we have this solar eclipse. Then there is also another solar eclipse forecast for the United States 7 years later in 2024. And again, that's the forecast if we make it that far. And it will cross the United States as well, from Texas to Vermont, Canada, and on. Well, let's try the phone lines, and good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard. Going back just a couple of thoughts there to the changing demographics.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's a really sad thing that, you know, when you see the huge change in the demographics of what's going on, not just here, but in Europe. And, you know, if you have any much interaction with some of these people that are actually annoyed over, you know, the people over there that are annoyed about what's going on and would actually want to do anything about it, you know, the really, really bad situation that's going on is these people are overwhelmingly looking at the Judeo-Christian Church's cooperation with
absolutely
the Jews as being
absolutely
the downfall of what's causing their problem. And because of this, we are just experiencing a huge rise in the Europeans actually hating Christianity with just a vengeance. You know, they just hate it because they think that Christianity is enabled this whole thing to happen to them. And they're you know, you go on to any of these white groups from Europe, and it's just like solid stick. We're going back to Odin. We're going back to our old pagan
yes.
roots.
I've seen that. I've seen that. There is
a
huge upsurgence in these other Nordic type of false gods, and they're as false a god as the rest of them are.
Well, Odin and the whole bunch of those old.
Yes.
So-called gods were nothing but fallen angels and demons. That's exactly what they were. But you know, you can't convince these people that they're falling away from God and they're going after worshiping the fallen angels.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that
it's going to bring the downfall on them even
right.
further.
That's one of the reasons we continue these broadcasts. We continue to put out the 30 plus years that our pastor preached and recorded, because it points to Jesus Christ, and that is the only true God that there is.
Now you know your Bible well enough,
and we have seen. I can tell you, especially in the prisons, where you have a much more segregated group. You've got the whites over there and the blacks over there, and that's how they are. Like it or not, believe it or not, but that's how it is. And so many of them have you know, it's a microcosm of the population, but many of them have written to us and come out and told us that very thing, that, you know, they see this big, you know, they're worshiping Odin and this, you know, looking back to the Germanic and these Nordic type of gods, and it's fallacy. But they are having their eyes opened, and that's good. That's good that they are. But you're absolutely right. And the Judeo-Christians here in this country, we're praying that their eyes are opened, that they come out of the spell. How can you have anything - Christianity? Christ is first. And so this country was not founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic. It was founded to further the Christian faith. It was founded on a Christian ethic. And just the term itself of Judeo-Christianity is just the Judaism. It is those that hate Christ putting themselves above Christ and putting themselves at the forefront and before the blessings of Jesus Christ on this nation and on our people.
Well, you know, a people can be sinning, and God's going to punish a country even if you're steeped in sin. But there's something that's worse even than the sin, and that is going after false gods and idolatry. Because if you remember in your Bible, that was exactly why the Israelites were removed out of the land. You see, it was going after those false gods that Solomon had brought in with all his wives that got them removed out of the land.
It is.
And these people, you know, going back to Odin and Thor and, you know,
right,
all these ancient Celtic and Irish gods, or so-called gods, I should say, it's only going to bring it out because now you've not just steeped in sin, you're steeped in idolatry, and you are really going to bring the anger of God down on you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and there is no other name under which man can be saved. And it is simple as that. And so we sure try to minister to those people that are caught up in that false religion. We sure try to let them know that this Judeo-Christianity, this mamsy-pamsy, interracial-promoting, homosexual, sin-promoting Judeo-Christianity is just as false as Odin. And it is just as antichrist as Judaism is. It is. You're either for Christ or against him. You either gather for him or you scatter. It is as simple as that. And that's how, you know, we do our best to minister, certainly with love and compassion, but that is the bottom line. And the lines definitely are being drawn. They are. Hey, well, brother, thanks for the call. I'm going to try to get through this last little bit of notes.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Do have the lines open, 307-745-5913, if you did have a comment on this. But just trying to get through this. So we've got an eclipse, August 21st, that is going from the northwest down to the southeast, coming in Oregon, leaving in Charleston. And that's where the shadow of the moon is going to come across the United States. 7 years later, there is another solar eclipse forecast that goes the other way, from the southwest to the northeast. And the shadows will cross and make a giant X. We're going to have some of this, and we're going to try to get it in Volume 5 newsletter. And talked about it a few Sundays ago. Oh, it's been a month or so ago, on a scriptural review of the news that we broadcast out on Sunday mornings from the church. But when you look at the map of the forecast of the shadows, they are just mark a huge X on the United States. And so we've read in Revelation 12 about a great sign appearing in heaven, and that really, I think, applies more to stars and different things, but we see this the way I saw it anyway, the shadows, this totality and the solar eclipse, this it's a shadow crossing the country from sea to shining sea, a fleeting darkness. And we have seen sin cast its dark shadow across this once Christian land and creep its way into every aspect of our once Christian society, including our education system, including our churches, what used to be a few generations ago of a Christian ethic is now a Judeo-Christian ethic, only in term and in deed, unfortunately, because it doesn't put Christ first. And so we have seen this sin creep and cast its dark shadow all across this country, just like this eclipse coming up. And then 7 years later, another eclipse. And that 7 years, I'm not making a prophecy or a forecast or saying this is what it is. But having two solar eclipses that cross this country and its shadow puts a big X right on the country kind of made me sit up and look into this a little bit. I hope it does you as well. That 7 years, that reminded me of, 7 years. 7 years. Several things in the Bible on 7 years, but mainly Genesis 41, where we don't have time to read it all tonight, but where Joseph is in Egypt. He's been sold into slavery. He's in prison. And the Pharaoh had a dream. And remember that? The seven cows, fat and sleek, and then seven cows that were very poor and ugly and gaunt came up and ate up the first fat seven cows, but you couldn't tell that they'd done it. And so word gets to Joseph, and word of Joseph gets to the Pharaoh. And so just wanted to read a couple verses here, give you Joseph's interpretation. And it's found in Genesis 41, verse 20, starting in verse 26. It says, the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears of corn are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. And I pause there. Pharaoh had two dreams that basically showed and said the same thing. We go back, verse 27. And the seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come. And all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. I encourage you to go back and read Genesis 41. This excellent story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of Joseph being true to his God, and his God rewarding his service and making and paving a way to save the children of Israel. But those 7 years, 7 years after the August 21st sea to shining sea solar eclipse, and 7 years later, interestingly enough, on April 8th, that's only 6 days after Passover. Pretty close, pretty interesting. So, a term came to mind that our pastor used sometimes. He'd talk about being a chicken prophet, because you make a full prophecy, and if it doesn't come true, then the penalty is death. And I'm not making a prophecy here. I'm just letting you know my thoughts on this. That this is something that should make you go, 7 years, a full solar eclipse, darkness across the land, 7 years. I can tell you the thought that occurred to me is, it's this election was in November. This is coming up in August. It's almost been a year that we've had a new president. Maybe we will have seven more years of the president that we have. And maybe those will be seven more years of a time of plenty. Maybe. Maybe the economy's going to get better. Maybe. Well, I sure see more construction going on. I see more new cars on the road. I know that's more people going into debt, but it usually means they have some money to pay for them. I see more less jobless, less homeless. Maybe the next 7 years are going to be a time of plenty in this nation. Whether it is or isn't, don't think that it's a time to relax. Don't think that it is. This election, this past presidential election was nothing short of miraculous, nothing short of the hand of God thwarting the hand of those that hate him. We see this, we've talked about it, we recognize it, and others, other Christian men do as well outside of this ministry. And we see that. And so now is not a time to relax. Now is a time to continue to be in prayer, to continue to read your Bible, to continue to apply the Word, to continue to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And it's a time to continue to love your neighbors yourself. It's a time to read the Word. It's a time to hear the Word being read. It's a time to have and seek out and make time for Christian fellowship, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Because all of these things are pleasing in God's sight. All of these things line up with us getting right with God, as the church world likes to use in terminology. And you know what, folks? We better be right with God. We better be right with God. Regardless, we don't know if we're going to get 7 years. We don't know if we're going to have 7 days. The solar eclipses are not the only celestial occurrences for this year, and then, of course, the one coming in 7 years. Just a short time after this first solar eclipse passing over the United States, according to those that study and map the stars and the planets, NASA and those kind of guys and their orbits, an alignment that it only occurs every 7,000 years is lining up in the stars. We are seeing that the Lord Himself has set in motion for us this year a very interesting occurrence that seems to coincide directly with His words. I want to read from Amos 5, verses 8 through 9. Amos 5, "He who made the Pleiades and Orion and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is His name. It is He who flashes forth with destruction upon the strong, so that destruction come." The constellations. Now, I'm not talking about astrology. I'm not talking about the zodiac and how the stars determine if you're going to have a good day today. And no, that's witchcraft. That's bunk. That is not something we get into. But astronomy, the study of the stars, God has created the stars. He created the stars for signs. We have to remember that. Psalms 147:4 says He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. It's going to be dark in about an hour here at the ranch, and I encourage you, if it's dark where you are, go outside and look at the stars and remember that our God, the power of our God, He has named every one of those stars. Well, the constellation of stars, Virgo, which is Latin for virgin, it rests just below the constellation of Leo the lion. And Leo the lion, of course, is just off to the right when you're looking at it, if I think that's how that lines up. And it's just on the backside, kind of, of the Big Dipper, is how you can find it in the stars. You know, the end of the Big Dipper points toward the North Star. If you go the opposite way, you go over to the constellation of Leo. And so we know that stars, according to Genesis 1:14, are for signs. God created the stars for signs. First and foremost is what it says. Well, a very interesting stellar alignment is fast approaching. It's going on right now, has been going on. Jupiter, which is also known as the king planet, I don't call it that, but that's the first time I've said Jupiter, and I don't know how long. But those that do call Jupiter the king planet, and it has an interesting orbit. For the past several months, it has been in an area that can best be described as the womb of Virgo. According to astrologers, people at NASA, stuff like that, it entered that womb area in November of 2016, and it will leave that area about September 9th of this year, after a visit of 42 weeks. Now, also in that same time period, mainly about September 29th, the moon, let's go back to that constellation of Virgo. These are the stars in the sky, and the constellation, of course, is just man's name that we've given to them, but they've had them just about forever. And so the constellation, the stars that make up the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin in Latin, which is what it stands for, the moon will be visible at the bottom of that constellation. The sun will be approximately where the shoulders would be in human terms. I'll try to get a graphic up on the website. Three more stars, or wandering planets, as they're called, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, will be in alignment above the constellation of Virgo, right at the constellation of Leo. Now, they're not always there, but they're going to line up. These three extra stars, Mercury, Mars, and Venus, in alignment with the nine stars that make up the constellation of Leo, will then make a total of 12 stars in the constellation in the area of Leo, the lion, and at the head of Virgo, the constellation of Virgo. And you may think, so what? Well, in Revelation 12:1, we read, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth." Now, of all people, I am not a Bible scholar, but it seems like that we know, first off, we know what we read in the Word is true. We know that many times there are dual meanings, there are dual prophecies, there are things that are literal and figurative in the Word, and some of the things we understand and some we don't. But seeing this constellation of Virgo, and maybe with the graphic, we're going to put it in the next newsletter, this Volume 5, Dragon Slayer, that we're working on right now, and so we'll have a a graphic in there. But when you see this constellation of Virgo, Leo, the lion at her head, the lion of Judah, her head, her covering, 12 stars, 3 extra wandering planets that appear as stars that are lining up, that are approaching alignment right now, that are approaching the Virgin that is going to give birth, that we read about with child, fixing to give birth. Boy, it sounds like the three kings that came and visited Jesus when he was born. The sun being right up at her shoulder, shining right over the you could say, clothing, shining its brightness on her. The moon down below the star of Spica. Whew. Sign? Yeah, I think it's a sign. I think it's a sign. A full solar eclipse, and then this Revelation 12 alignment. I think it definitely is a dual prophecy. A darkness that is shining across the land, and then right after it, a retelling of the birth of the Son of God being played out in the heavens. Whew. That's what I think it is. I think it's a sign. It is a sign for his people. It is a sign for his people. Well, I've still got 4 pages of notes. Maybe I'll get a part 3 out of this, huh? Maybe next week. Well, I've got a little bit more that I would like to cover. Maybe we can do that. Well, again, folks, I'm not going to be like those Blood Moon Tetrad guys. Oh, this is the beginning of the end. And this is the tribulation. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is a sign from a heavenly Father that loves his children and that desires all men to repent and return to him. And I think that's a sign that that's what he wants us to do. Well, folks, that's all the time we have. Thanks for tuning in to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We're on the web at scripturesforamerica.org. You can send us an email at preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Thanks for tuning in, and for all of those out there that support us and that we know and we correspond with, know that we do pray for you, and we thank you, and we thank our Heavenly Father for you. This ministry is supported by your tithes and free will offerings, and again, we thank you for that. Have a blessed evening. Join us Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hey, we'll talk to you then.